Thank you very much for this introduction, and welcome to everybody in the call for the presentation and some more related information for our quarter one numbers, fiscal year 2018. Capgemini has released these numbers today in the morning, and I will follow the presentation you have received by our investor relation, Hans Lang. And I would like that you go to page two so I can start with the highlights. What you have seen and experienced, and some financial data will come up on the previous slide, is that we had a revenue growth in this fiscal, in this quarter by 7.9%, but our profitability in the quarter one was quite under pressure in comparison to the previous quarter, fiscal year 17. The explanation for this being such under pressure is partly related to the Czech Republic. You recall in this respect that we have been very successful to extend this contract in the last fiscal year, but with some different commercial margins and commercial provisions. The second part is when we compare quarter one 17 to quarter one 18, that we had a bad will or a negative goodwill out of the transaction of the acquisition KTT Schneider from Schneider Group, which has no comparable number in this quarter. And we had also to suffer FX impact in the EBIT by 2.3 million. And also in the financial by 2.5 million, which I can explain later on a little more in detail. What we have achieved and what we focus in this fiscal year is that we focus on the large new business opportunities. They are being evaluated and already worked on. This means Bulgaria, the tender is out. We are working that. We have offered our price and still under evaluation. We are working on three big tenders we see in Germany, which are really interesting, and within the next 12 months we will see more. We have a better visibility on that. And we see also in our region, North America, a significant number of middle and bigger projects in our tender pipeline. The activities for securing the core business are, here I would like to put your interest to our activities in that we are working on the re-tender and new tender in the Czech Republic and Poland as well. What happens on top in this quarter one was that we made a shift in our local entity in South Africa. We handed over to introduce an employee participation scheme trust 17.1% of the shares in TMT in South Africa. Why is that such important for us? Is you know that in South Africa you are credited and certified based on the Black empowerment, and whenever you would like to participate in public tenders, you have to show up with a certain certificate, and with with this action, we achieved the best result you can get in the Black Empowerment certificate. And the second, we are very eager to participate our employees closer to our business. So it was for us in two aspects a very successful transaction. Another transaction we closed final in this quarter, that was the takeover of the remaining 67% of Cymex, and that happened in the mid of July, quite nearly close to the quarter. And we started this acquisition in 2012, and we tried to step into the Mexican market. Why do we think that the Mexican market is so interesting for us? They are the 13th biggest economy, and they have a significant number of also highways. 11,000 kilometers are already multi-lane express roads, and we see in the IMS segment as well, in the tolling segment, a nice and significant growth for us. You know that we are focusing on to increase our market share, and therefore Mexico is an important step in exactly this direction. Now I would like that you change to the next slide of our presentation, and here you see our earnings overview. So the revenues increased from 152.3 to 164.3. That's nearly 8%. But the EBITDA has now a volume of 15.7 million. The EBITDA margin is 10%. That was a decrease in comparison to our previous period by 4.7 basis points. The EBIT in this fiscal year is 11.7. That's a drop by 33% from 17.6 to 11.7 million. That means also for our EBIT margin that we are at 7% at the moment. What I can assure you that we are still eager to keep our interest getting back to double-digit EBIT margins. That's a clear target, a clear goal within our organization. The profit before tax, 9.3, and the profit for the period is 6.6, which show up in earnings per share 0.52, in comparison 0.97. So in total, an increase of our top line, but then a decrease in our profitability due to the reasons I have already mentioned. On page four, you'll get some more details and explanation about the changes in the other operating income. Here you see exactly the issue that in the previous quarter we had included in the 9.2 million, 3 million badwill from our acquisition of the Schneider business, and 2.3 million of the foreign exchange gains, which we don't have this year. We had a comparable decrease of cost of materials and other production services when you look on 58.5, but the significant increase in staff costs. So that's easy to explain that we have always we look for external support until we increase our own staff. If we know that our business is stable and we have the correct resources and the appropriate skills found, then we put it we take it over as an own employee. The staff cost for this quarter reflects also that we had additional 170 employees compared to the previous one. Important to mention also other operating expenses. Here you see between these two periods an increase from 28.1 to 31.9. So that's mainly related to the FX impact in this period. Let's look on the next page what happens below the EBIT, coming then to the result for the period. And here also you see the major impact happened out of the FX areas, and interest expenses increased due to the fact that we, in May 2016, we looked already for the refinancing of our corporate bond, the repayment of still outstanding 71 million will happen in November 2017. Cash is available within our organization, so we are now well prepared to organize this payment in due time, and that's also important for us. Yes, that brings us to the point that the tax rate is quite stable. Result for the period was by 47%, nearly divided by two, from 12.4 to 6.6. and the earnings per shares we have for this quarter are 0.52. On page six, some more financial information like the net investment. Here you see that in this quarter we spent 1.3 million in comparison to 6.5 million, which was mainly related to our KTT acquisition. The free cash flow in this quarter was negative, and that is also the reason why our net credit decreased from 19.6 to 13.4. Why we have a negative free cash flow is mainly for a higher working capital, and we had some higher income tax payments in this quarter to be paid. The balance sheet in total is quite stable. The equity ratio improved slightly, so we have currently 36% on equity ratio. When we will repay our corporate bond in November 2017, you will see here a big jump in our equity ratio again, because then we have a much lesser financial liabilities and the lower assets. On page seven, I would like to give you some more insight about our results of the different segments, ETC and IMS. In ETC, you see that we increased our revenues from 112.4 million by 9.7% to 123.4 million. The EBIT margin, when it dropped to the last line of this paragraph, of this graph on the left side, it's 16.1%-11.9%, which are partly reflected to our tech project. I have to admit on that. How is the geographical split of our tolling or electronic tolling segment? We have 70% in EMEA, so that's clearly quite the strongest region. Americas increasing to 24%, and 6% is in the Asian and Pacific area. The split of these revenues in the ETC segment in design and build, operations and components show you that we have an increase in all three areas in comparison to our quarter one fiscal year 2017. Onboard units are still on a quite high level. 2.9 million have been sold in this quarter in comparison to 2.8. Although I have to admit that the price and the margin pressure in this area of components is also existing and there, that we have to acknowledge. The second segment which we report is the IMS. In the IMS, we had a very small increase from 39.8 million up to 40.9 million, and we are still negative in this segment. What we can see in the geographical split is here that the region Americas has a much bigger value. It's 46% in comparison to the EMEA region, 50%. When you see it, ETC is North America, Americas, that's North America and Latin America, 24%. For the IMS part, we have a strong focus in this area, and Asia and Pacific region is quite on a single-digit number. How is the split of our project here in design and build, operations and components? You see that we have an increase in design and build, so we are still building a significant and have some projects in this area. The operation dropped down. Why did they drop down? Here we had to recognize that we lost a project in South Africa, and also Brazil has a negative impact in this project category. We had also a decrease in selling the components in this area. Coming to our next slide and the final information about the outlook. So what we definitely see that our revenues top line will continue growth. We were challenged in the organization to reach the last fiscal year EBIT, but we are quite confident to achieve this. What we cannot impact is influences out of the foreign exchange risk, which mainly related as euro, US dollar, and euro and South African rand, where that were the major impacts in for us in this regard. Already mentioned, equity ratio should increase following the redemption of the corporate bond in November 2017. What about our project more bidding pipeline? So we see a lot of project and with a higher volume in the region EMENA, like Germany, Bulgaria, retender in Czech. We also already close contracts in Norway, and we see also here there are smaller projects, but we see here also some interesting potential up to 20 million. In the region North America, we see increasing numbers of tenders for back office, which is really interesting for us because they are at a higher volume, more than 100 million, and then a lot of section tolling between 10 and 40 million. Latin America, here we are a little bit weaker in this area. There are smaller projects, and that's definitely a market which is emerging for us. We are working on that similar. In the Asian Pacific region, not saying this for Australia because here we are really a market leader, but in the other areas we would like to have a bigger footprint like we had it up to now. And that's also clear for Africa. Africa is an interesting market for us. So we see some projects in Botswana and in other countries close to South Africa, and we would like to use our very solid base right now in South Africa or to develop the African region as well. That's for the moment what I would like to share and for an explanation for our quarter one numbers. And I'm happy to hand over to you and ask you for any questions you have in this regard.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to raise a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Daniel Lion with Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I would have a few questions related to the potential that you also mentioned in your presentation. When I know it's difficult for you to really be specific on individual projects, but if you maybe sum up the potential you are seeing within the coming 12 months. What are we talking about here? Maybe could you give us a volume or a range of a volume that you see as a potential ahead of you? This
So
would be the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not so easy to we have significant potentials in our bid and pipeline. The issue is always to when will they really pop up, because the Bulgarian tender is out quite long lasting time, and we can expect any result the next month if they continue. So We see in Germany very interesting. There are three big projects where we have more insight in the first 6 months of 2018. So we are interested in this. We know what are the requirements, and we are considering how we can deal with that. And a total number for let me put it in a different way, Daniel. I would say we still say that we would like to increase at least by 10%, 10 to 12% growth our top line in every year.
10% top line growth. Okay. Good. Is there any further detail you can provide us with the large tenders that are currently ongoing? Germany, Czech Republic, Poland, Bulgaria. Is there any further detail that you could share?
So Bulgaria, the price is out, so we have tendered. So to say now any number, it's a little bit.
Not in terms of price, of course, but yeah.
Yeah, but the
maybe
volume.
Just an update on when you'd expect the tenders to be decided. For example, if there's any changes to this aspect,
mm-hmm.
This would be interesting.
So Bulgaria hopefully should be decided until this calendar year. In Germany, we will see, as I mentioned already, in first half year 2018.
All three tenders.
Yeah, all three tenders. Czech Republic, now we are in the pre-qualification, and at the moment, we think it's very likely that we are engaged for the whole period of the extensions, because they will need to finalize the procurement process in this time. So, and we had an extension for 3 years, so that you can see that in Poland. In Poland, here we probably get an extension by 1 year, because the final decision is not taken. Otherwise, we should be at a better stage right now already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is in North America? That's really a bulk. That's a huge number of small projects with a volume of more millions.
Mm-hmm.
More hundred millions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the second focus I would like to put on is the integration, and also the further business development of KTT.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe can you give us an update on where we are currently, what you expect in terms of profitability development? Are we still seeing integration costs burdening the profitability, and if so, by when would you think that the integration is really completed, or at least this additional costs should disappear, and how about the economies of scale in terms of project pipeline, revenue pipeline, tender pipeline? When would you expect to see maybe some meaningful top line growth that would translate into economies of scale and into better profitability as well?
Mm-hmm. So what I can assure you, that the integration of the KTT organization happened. That's already done. We don't distinguish in our numbers between what is KTT business and what's not KTT business. That's done. What not happened is we expected a higher number of synergies, which we see. We still see this number of synergies and couldn't achieve that at the moment. And here we said, okay, that has to happen within this fiscal year. And for example, the engagement of Markus Handel was extended to March 18, because we know we need his support in this area to get the synergies done, which are something between 2 to 4 million, what we can expect on that.
So, per year?
Yes.
Or cost savings?
Cost savings in that. So what we, that means a huge streamlining of the U.S. organization, which will happen right now. So what we are planning is that we have too many companies in North America, that we merge them and combine the sales organization, project management organization, and so on. So that brings more effectiveness in our organization. I would not only say efficiency, I would say we would be more effective and focus on that.
Okay. And just with these synergies and the current revenues, even if you don't really show the revenues on a standalone basis, would this mean already break even on EBIT, or maybe slightly positive on an annual basis?
What I can tell you is the Spanish environment is slightly positive. The North American environment is more under pressure. So, and therefore, here it's important to streamline the organization and to increase the effectiveness.
And this would be sufficient or enough in order to break even at least? So, in total, to be
yes.
positive on the
yes.
EBIT level? And
yes.
And okay,
yes.
And
yes.
Mm-hmm. And are you in a position already to have a combined product offering that would enable to address new markets market ports?
Yeah,
that's already in place.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, we combine already our proposals, tolling and EcoTraffic installations. There we have out and the HOT lanes.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see the potential going forward to really materialize growth from this product offering?
From this product offering, these are in the bidding phase, not in the that we have only a smaller and small size from the size of smaller projects where we already working on that.
Mm-hmm. So difficult to say or provide a timing on when to see growth also in the IMS segment to materialize, especially.
The IMS segment, we also expect a growth in this segment by at least 8 to 10%, and that's depending on especially the urban environment.
Mm-hmm. So also this year, 8 to 10% growth, top line growth expected
yeah.
for IMS.
Mm-hmm. What we get back from our customer, that they are very happy to have one-stop shop with us, so that we can offer tolling and traffic management, and that takes a little bit more time, so that the customer then really comes to a contract and we get the award and we get the possibility to work on an implementation and make the execution on that.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from the line of Hartmut Morse with Matelan Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I just have one follow-up question on the growth rates just mentioned. You were talking about 10 to 12% growth. If I understood it correctly, for the group, and I wanted to know was that referring to some kind of medium-term target, or were you saying that the pipeline is currently piling up in a way that you could already achieve this target value in the current year? And the same refers to the figures you just mentioned for IMS, 8 to 10%. Is it also referring to a medium-term target, or did you say this is a realistic figure for the current year already?
So the 10% for the IMS, it's more challenging, I can tell you. But the other, the 10 to 12 for the group, we can take this out of the existing pipeline, which is really strong at the moment. People are very, very busy in preparing bids and offers.
Okay, that sounds excellent. So also for this year already, so 17-18, your financial year, we are not looking at a flattish development. We are more looking now at a growth, at growth picking up.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Thank you. The other issue I wanted to touch is, I'm pretty fine with what I saw for the first quarter in ETC. That's perfectly in line with the planning, even a bit ahead in terms of sales. But you touched it very, very slightly, but probably you could give a bit more flesh to the bone to what happened in IMS. You were obviously always referring on a year-on-year comparison, but obviously we are looking on a quarter-on-quarter development, and we had seen IMS picking up in the second half of your past financial year, so Q3, Q4, in particular Q4 was a very strong year, strong quarter, and now you post basically 15 million less sales compared to previous world quarter, and return to red figures. Give us a bit more explanation on that swing that we see on a quarterly basis, and basically leading to the question, you were saying for the group that meeting EBIT will be, meeting last year's EBIT will be very challenging for this year. I would assume, given what I saw now in the first quarter, that you would also subscribe to a statement that would say it would also be very challenging for you to reach a break even in IMS already in this year. Is that true, or is there anything I haven't seen yet?
So yes, what you have seen is that the revenue in the IMS quarter one in comparison to looking just at the simple quarter three or quarter four of the previous years was decreasing, and we have less business in Brazil, and we had a significant drop down in South Africa, which is probably to get back, not in a visible time, but for the moment in quarter one we suffered out of that. What you also see when the revenues are decreasing or not developing in that level, we have a significant issue in having sales support costs in areas where we are preparing the market and have not the business for that. So the negative EBIT you can also take in this regard, that we really push our sales people in this area to work on business opportunities, but if they are not successful, then we have to allocate it to the IMS segment. So I would Let it use this as an investment for the future and not only an operational negative impact. The project itself, they are positive, but the investments for the future and to prepare and work on the market are not covered by this low level of revenues we have right now.
That's fair. And well, coming back to the last question, I mean, do you see it the way that it would be also be very challenging to be break even in IMS this year already in 2017-18?
If we win a good project, then it would help us. But
everything is possible.
I'm sorry to say that I'm not saying yes, we will be positive.
Okay, that's fine. No, that's fair. Thank you very much.
For the status today, it's for us. It's really a growing segment, and here we have to put some more investments to bring it to the level we would like to have in future.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from the line of Eike Günther with Eike Trade International. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Can you please put a little bit more color on South Africa? If I heard or you mentioned this with the BEE, how do you the financing for this? Are you offering the employees stocks of your company, or is it a third party, a financial company, which is doing these things? For I think it is very important that you have not sort such a fluctuation in employees. Or do you? Thank you.
So what we did, we took 17%, 17.1% of the company shares of TMT and sold it to a trust. And the trust is an entity or a legal body where all South African employees can apply for and say they would like to be a beneficiary out of this program. Dividends in TMT will then forward to partly to the trust, paid out to the trust as well, and the beneficiary get the profit out of this. That keeps you perfectly put the right the thing in the right place, reduce the fluctuation. And on the second part is, and especially for Black people who are in the management level as well, and it's currently designed in a way where white and Black people can participate. So we could offer the whole employees a program, and but our ratio Black to white is sorry that I don't know exactly the number, but it's much, much higher. We have much more Black people in our local organization, and that brings also motivation to the people and enables our local entity to participate in bids with a better rate, I would say like this. And when you have this Black Empowerment Certificate, depending on the levels, and there's a level from 1 to 7, you are allowed to have a higher amount. So the contract value can be higher if you have a better rating. So that means you have a higher probability to get awarded to the contract.
Yes, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Felix Lutz with Oddo. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My question would be, if you say the pipeline for this year offers a huge growth, but you stay cautious with the EBIT expectation, you already have the orders and can plan, and how about the capacities? And as another question would be, do you have any merger and acquisition projects in the pipeline? Thank you.
So when we say we have a significant number in our pipeline, then these are projects where we are tendering for. They are not contracted already. So we see the opportunities and we're working on the opportunities. And up to now, the capacity is fine with the people we have. When it comes to your second question, is the M&A. So M&A, it's always something on our table. What we do is that we screen companies if the companies fit to our offering or opens us a new market, then we will go in a deep analysis and we'll address that. But at the moment, we don't have a big M&A activity at the table.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Mr. Lang for closing comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for joining the call. Next call is scheduled for 29th of November when we release our half-year numbers. Have a great day and fingers crossed for our share price. Thank you very much.
Thank you.